Well, so first, then I'm going to turn the focus towards all of you. The panel actually had questions for you and your home groups, and we wondered how or if your home group, meaning lets members know who's willing to be a sponsor. So for instance, my meeting doesn't make a verbal announcement through the script, but actually on our phone list, we have a column that says willing sponsor. So we're just kind of curious, how many meetings, maybe just by show of hands, like how many of you have meetings where you announce specifically about sponsorship, finding a sponsor, being a sponsor? That's awesome. And how many do you do it more subtly or quietly through phone list or something like that? And how many your home group doesn't mention sponsorship at all, which is okay, you can raise your hand. Judgmental, just kind of curious. Yeah, the panel's just curious about that. Also, as a reminder for those of you who maybe are dusting off this idea of becoming a sponsor, chapter 11 in the Big Red Book is all about sponsorship. Also, the fellowship has at adultchildren.org a few pamphlets that you can download for free. So there's one on ACA sponsorship and explaining the difference between sponsors and fellow travelers. There's also hosting an ACA sponsor workshop pamphlet. So just this is just kind of a reminder, you know, that we do have literature available to help guide folks through the process of sponsoring. And then finally, I wanted to open it up to the room to see if you had any questions for the panel that you felt like it was a new question, or you wanted to expand on an idea, or wanted clarity on something. We wanted to make sure. Yeah, please go ahead.
So two questions. One has to do with technology. This is being recorded. Do we have an idea of when it might be available on the website so that we can announce it in our groups, especially because, I mean, there's a lot of newcomers, and this has come up at both of my meetings about this whole sponsorship. And I'm not going to say it's a problem, but it's been a very good discussion about the fact of, wow, yeah, this is a part of the program. And as you said, yeah, there is a problem with availability or willingness of sponsorship. And so, yeah, so I just wanted to ask about that. So when it would be available. And two is, there was something that I heard from two different people on the panel, and one was a very beautiful thing about accountability. And as an adult child, yep, I know that that's something that is part of growing and learning. And so there's this accountability piece between sponsor and sponsee. And then where is that line between, you know, holding them accountable for, let's say, you know, working on or focusing on or getting some work done, and then just giving them advice. Giving them advice versus saying, okay, this is what we're agreeing on that you're going to be working on. And then when the person calls you and you meet, is just giving them advice versus kind of a collaboration. I don't know if that makes sense, but really the whole sponsor-sponsee thing for me, it's not supposed to be about advice, and it's learning how, where's that fine line between, okay, this is the things you need to be working on or maybe considering, and when it's advice. Do you get what I'm saying? Does that make sense or not make sense?
I think for me, if I ever feel like I'm in the place where I feel like I'm advice giving, I usually try and reword how I'm saying what I'm saying, more of, well, this is what worked for me. This is my experience. It's just sharing my experience. And then saying, you know, do you think that would work for you, or what do you think is going to work for you? And, you know, so helping them kind of explore to say, we're going to find a solution. It's just, it may look like mine or it may not, you know, but this is what I experienced. So kind of helping them walk through that and not just, oh, this is, that's not going to work. Okay, well, what will? let's work, you know, let's talk through that.
Okay.
Kim had said something earlier that I, you know, I think anybody that's worked with me has heard these words come out of my mouth. How's that working for you? It's, you know, it's just really simple because it directs that back out and it keeps me out of that advice giving. Mm-hmm. I can't say that I'm 100% on that. I don't know. I don't know that that's within the realm of the possibility of my being, but, you know, I really try not to. But I'm human, so there's a piece of that that I think comes out. They certainly will make amends if they're due.
Because I think going through the process of helping a sponsee come to their own solutions puts then the responsibility on their shoulders. So that way, if it doesn't work, it's not, well, you told me to do this. You know, it's that, you know, it didn't work for you, so let's try something else, you know, rather than looking to place blame. You know, so trying to keep myself out of that, you know, or something else.
Thank you.
And then as far as when it would be on the website, I would say within about a week, and then I recommend signing up for the newsletter so that you can get notified.
Yeah,
on it.
We have. Yeah. Perfect. Thank you. Awesome. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Jess.
Yeah, I don't think that the sponsorship role is, if you're a guide, you're not telling someone what to do. You're not responsible for what to do. But my earlier, I don't want to go into too much depth, but my earlier probably biggest challenge was dealing with someone whose behavior I felt was just way out of line. And what I did is I talked about, have you thought about how someone else feels, someone who you care about, how they feel? Have you thought about them? Have you thought about what they're perceiving? And asking, what are you getting? And what are you giving up? That's as close as I've ever come. I think I think probably my sponsee grasped what I thought. I certainly didn't ever tell him what to do. And their behavior lined up with what I thought they should do. So, but it isn't the sponsee-sponsor relationship is not what should you do. Maybe an AA, it was not do with more like that, it could be. But my relationship in an AA with my sponsor was more, here's your assignment, we're going to do the steps together, and then our relationship is done, and we can reevaluate. Now we're going to do this step, and I want you to do this to do this step.
Thank you, Bob.
I think as you advance through the work, the intensity and the propensity of the sponsee to ask for advice diminishes. From the extreme example of me fielding just a phone call of trying to find a meeting for a person, they really wanted me to be their therapist. I was so confused at first. Where is this going? What does this person want from me? And I had given them all of the possible meetings within their living area. And no, this person wants me to tell them what to do. Really, really did. On specific things going on in their life. Now that's an extreme example, but I think all of us kind of have that. When I came into it, I've been in AA for 10 years and I still feel shitty. So what is this? Maybe this program will work. And I hope somebody tells me what to do. I remember having thoughts like that because it's got to be different. This has got to be different, doesn't it? And then I realized that, oh, gee, that's right. I have to take responsibility for how this flows. Not everything I'm So I just kept coming to the meetings and listening to people very carefully. My problem was that I'm so ingrained in AA that they were all women in my group. So I couldn't answer for a sponsor. So I had to wait till the dynamic of our group changed, and then some men entered in it, and then I met Tony, and Tony and I went to, and the book was out. So things started happening. But I'll admit, I wanted answers too. From these women were so experienced. I so admired them. I was in awe of how they had changed their lives and everything, and I wanted what they had. And I couldn't answer them. I couldn't ask them to be a sponsor, but I wanted to ask them what to do. And a couple of different things that were going on in my life.
I want to add one thing on the, just another thought on the seeking answers. I think one thing I try to remind my sponsees is that they already have all the answers in them. Their higher powers already put all the answers in them. It's just my job to help them find those answers. You know, so putting it really that they, you know, like they're already there. You know, so.
Thank you.
You have a question?
I'm just going on to what you just said. How do you do that?
How do you go about guiding them to find the answers?
Yeah.
I think just asking questions. And I think for me, it was like I said it before, it was me asking my own higher power is how do I best help this person? You know, so my higher power helps lead me through what to ask to help them lead them to the answers for themselves.
I'm really curious about that because then that situation both as a sponsee and as a sponsor. It was kind of interesting. And I was facing something that I myself was dealing with all the time. That basically what it came down to was repetitive behavior that was not serving the person or me well. And I didn't know how to stop it, and I didn't know how to correct it. And it was like an impossible mountain that I had been pushing that boulder up, and constantly pushing it down, and I keep pushing it up. And I felt like a fool bringing it up to the sponsor because I'd done it so many times, and why was I still suffering through the same emotion? And I was getting nowhere. And then I found a sponsee in a different situation. Same problem. So how would you deal with it?
And I think I go back to just trusting your higher power. So to me, then, that means that I need to help my sponsee develop that spiritual trust and trust that those answers will show up, and learning how to ask for them and being willing to wait for that answer to show up. On your higher power's timing, not your timing, you know. And so it's just being patient with yourself, being patient with the process, and trusting. And so that, to me, it became more of just developing the trust.
Thank you.
So the panel, how would you say someone could find a sponsor, and what should they look for in a sponsor, having been a sponsor?
Well, I think Joshua already alluded to it, is asking, you know, how many of the home groups already put out that information to the members of who is a willing sponsor. So that's one way, you know, asking the question in your home group is who's available to be a sponsor. And then also, because our community is bigger than just our home groups, you know, online, your sponsor doesn't have to come from your home group, you know, and so... And so then I think too, then it comes back to asking your higher power to guide you to your sponsor. You know, what is the expression? When the student is ready, the teacher will appear. Yeah. Kind of thing, I think something to that effect. You guys know that, I've heard that expression before. So I think it's putting that trust in your higher power to guide you to whoever's supposed to be your sponsor. And there's a bigger community out there online too, you know, that there's lots of groups and people available for sponsorship out there. As far as my experience.
And I was just gonna kind of, this is me putting on my own personal opinion, but also as a sponsor myself and having thought about the sort of dilemma of the lack of available sponsors in the program, I think, and also to the questions asked a little bit earlier in the audience, I think there's this unique thing to our program where we know from our traits that we have a fear of authority and we're people pleasers. We're also practicing learning emotional sobriety, but we get emotionally charged, right? And so we react. We're looking for the loving parent that we never had, but we can't find that in our sponsor, right? But our sponsor can model that for us, but ideally they're helping us to learn how to reparent ourselves. So there's a lot of sticky stuff in there where people sometimes are afraid of sponsoring because they're afraid to, you know, mess someone up or damage someone else, or people are afraid to ask because they don't want, you know, their sponsor to be authoritative or angry or punishing. And so I think gentleness, right? And that's the beautiful thing about this program is it's a program of being, you know, being gentle with ourselves. And so I think that, again, I love that you just keep bringing it back to the higher power. So inviting that into your life. And as you're going to, if you're either choosing to find a sponsor or deciding for the first time to become a sponsor or recommitting to sponsorship, I think just starting with the higher power and asking for how you want it to go is a great way to start. And then just rubber hits the road. Yeah. Adultchildren.org, you know, find, if you can't find it locally, just do a search and start going to online meetings and see if you can find an online sponsor. It's better to have a less than ideal sponsor than no sponsor at all, I think.
And to piggyback onto that, I think that, at least for me personally, I don't want to impose. I'm afraid to ask. You know, I think that that was so prevalent for me, because I, you know, I don't want to take up somebody else's time. I think people are more willing than what we realize. And I mean, look how many people are here. So obviously this topic was of value to everybody. So if you all just sponsored one person, think how many people you know, and they sponsor one, and you know, and so on and so on. Like the commercial used to be, right? You know, just the power of this room is incredible. And so, you know, go ahead, ask the question. Don't be afraid to go up to that new person and say hi, because sometimes that's all it takes. I've had people come up and say, you know, I asked you to be my sponsor because you greeted me when I walked in the room, or you said, welcome, when nobody else did. It was as simple as that. So, go out of your comfort zone. Just walk up to a newbie. They'll be really happy you did.
So, I guess that leads me to a question. Do you ever advertise yourself as a sponsor, or do you wait for the group member to come to you and say, will you be my sponsor? How has that gone?
I let my higher power handle that. When I do, I screw it up. And I wind up with someone that this shouldn't have happened.
Mm-hmm. I don't. I let them come to me.
Yeah.
But I greet new people all the time. So.
I have become both. I would say that my guide is let them come to me. But I've been. And called to be someone's sponsor. In fact, one that the sponsee that I come back to with my example, I was definitely called to be their sponsor. And unusually, the only time I asked him over and over, do you want me to help you? Do you want me to help you? And besides being my example, the challenge is probably my greatest, where I got the most and feel like I did.
Yeah, that's why I kind of was curious and asked the question at people's home groups, how many groups actually like acknowledge who is open to be a sponsor? Because I don't know if that's always happening, so that way I don't know that newcomers or
or members even realize who is available at your current home groups. And so it's nice to see that that vision is happening. I think that to start acknowledging that that part of our program exists.
Can I ask a question on that? So, panel, I'm guessing that you have all seen good examples of the meetings, how to bring up that, like, whether it be time and service, you know, whether it be, I don't know, somebody who might be a sponsor, but I know, like, even somebody who's looking for a sponsor, if I knew how much time they had in service, right, or in the program, I would be willing to ask them. But is there, have you seen a best practice within a meeting, what your meetings have been to, that covers the sponsorship program?
Well, our meeting has a phone list, and on it, it has a asterisk by whoever's name one is willing to be a sponsor, and it also has their anniversary date. So that information is readily available.
So if you spot a hand up, you know, and you go, okay, that guy's name is Bruce, you know, check it on the roster. So, if that's an important thing,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, that's exactly, yeah, okay.
And so if you're not, if your club doesn't, or your group doesn't already have that available, the small list with the asterisk or whatever, I've seen that in other groups, but our group has been really small, so we've not really done that process. And so that's something that I think I want to explore, as well as kind of look through some of the literature and say, kind of, we need to add to our meeting format, you know, addressing that, you know, sponsor piece. Like, you know, if anybody is at this place where they're able or willing to sponsor, you know, please let the rest of the group know. So if anybody's looking for one, they start looking to. I definitely think that, and so like I said, if your groups aren't already doing that, I think that's the good starting point. It's hard to know who to ask if you, I think it's probably helpful for people looking for a sponsor to know who's already identified themselves as available, as opposed to risking going up, going, oh, do you sponsor, and getting that rejection? Because I don't know about you guys, but I fear rejection. And so, you know, to me, it was helpful to have that information. Less risk. It's not that they can't still say no, they certainly could. And you are just saying that, you know, that it's not a good fit, but at least you know that there's a reason that they'll be there.
Any other questions from
This is to the group. So when you have, you're a first-time sponsor, so somebody's asked you or you've connected and now you're sponsoring that person, do you just right away say, we're just going to get into the yellow book, or do you have like another process that you start, like, I'd like to get to know you more, tell me about this and this and that, or like what was talked about in the previous, that keeping it on the subject of the 12 steps and keeping it focused so they're not off on tangents about non-related ACA things. You have a process that you do in the beginning with them.
I start having coffee to see how the first one goes. Usually I tell my story, encouraging them to do the same. Then maybe it'll take a second coffee for them to do that. That's why they're in ACA now. And so we'll keep the coffee thing going and make sure that there's good attendance on their part. And then we'll bring up the steps.
I also get a meeting, you know, have an initial meeting, and I ask that question, what are you looking for? And I tell people, it's okay if you don't know the answer to that, right? Also, I ask them how they want to proceed. Do they want to go through the yellow book as an individual or as a group? Are they interested in a group? I also tell them that this is not, you know, this does not have to be a permanent relationship. You know, if at any time our communications, our meetings are not working for you, please find someone that will work for you. I don't want you to leave the program. This is not about me. This is about your recovery. And I want you to have that ability to feel free to go find someone else to talk to at any time, because this is about you. And I really am, I guess maybe I want that to be a definitely unknown piece, because I don't want anybody to ever walk out of the doors of ACA because there just wasn't that connection with us. So, but it's a communication back and forth, you know, what kind of time do you have? What's your availability? Covering, you know, just some basic information and get a little bit of history and give and take on that. That's my preference.
Thank you. Yeah, with the and I think I already reflected on it earlier, just the two people that I've sponsored so far, you know, one had already been in the program for a long time, so it was just kind of, you know, what do you want right now? And then it just happened that the Loving Parent stuff came out, so we just started working through that. And then for the other one, just she was new to the program, so it was just basically, yeah, open up the red box, starts. And it was literally, we went through it page by page, ready page, what came up for you on that page? You know, read the next page, what came up for you on that page? You know, just working through it very slow and just making sure that they were, you know, absorbing all the wisdom in that book. So like I said, it evolves, I think, differently for each person. Just depending on the community, but that's been my experience. And if I remember right, when I kind of had my own sponsor, I think it was suggested to kind of develop some sort of an expectation sheet kind of thing. And I think I did write something up a few weeks back on that. I'd have to find that. but I think I did develop something just because I needed to know what where I was at as far as what am I willing to offer to be able to set those boundaries and expectations right from the get-go.
You know what I would add, it's a negotiation. I go into it well aware of what I want, but I feel I have time for it and that I'm ready to commit to it. So just being a fellow traveler, in a sense, has a whole different set of expectations to me than being a sponsor. That's just, and then I have limited time, limited energy, and I'm one that knows that.
Thank you.
One more.
If somebody else has one, go ahead. I'm curious if it has ever come up for any of you in regards to, because not everybody in ACA maybe seeks out therapy, but the clarity between just focusing as a sponsor on ACA versus talking about or bringing in therapy stuff, what has been your experience with that? Do you get what I mean? It's like, talking about, well, there's this therapy or that therapy or this is the therapy I do or whatever, but if someone does ask you a sponsee in regards to therapy, something outside of ACA, what has been your experience or what would you suggest?
I worked with a gentleman, I don't even remember the name of his diagnosed condition. You go with a therapist on something, and that was between them. And I've also been a sponsor for a gentleman that had experiences and needs, I'll say, that I couldn't fulfill his needs, and that there's a cost. You're going to bear the burden that they have, but I couldn't do anything about it.
Yeah, I've run into a couple instances where there needed to be some additional therapy before they could participate with a sponsor or the group. There's no doubt about it. And we have to maintain the safety of our groups. And there's pages in the red book that talk about that. Generally speaking, if anyone asks me about a therapist, I don't have any model that I know which one I received in my minor, but I don't. I'm not going to recommend that one. I'm just going to say the person should know about ACA. If they're familiar with that, throw a few terms at them, and if they don't recognize them, no. Yeah. So that's as close as I would come. And there have been times where I said, I think that's way beyond my depth of understanding, and that would be a good focal point with your therapist.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I think Bruce covered everything that I was thinking.
Yeah, I don't really have a lot to add other than my first sponsor was a therapist by her, and so I think it made it a little bit different experience for me having a therapist being my sponsor, because I think she approached things with me differently. And I think there was times too where she's like, okay, I need to back off and be your sponsor because I'm treating it more, or I feel like I'm coming more across like a therapist, because she works with addicts, and so she's like, this is life or death. But your challenge that you're dealing with, whatever challenge I was dealing with at the moment, you know, it's not life or death. And so she had to kind of, I think she was challenged with kind of keeping herself in a sponsor role rather than a therapist role when talking with me. So then it was, I think, a little bit skewed for me than to be a sponsor for somebody else, because that was my only experience. But it was helpful for her to recognize that and acknowledge that with me. Mm-hmm. To kind of know kind of that there could be, you know, some boundaries crossed there. But, you know, I guess the sponsor that I work with, one has sought their individual therapy and the other one hasn't. So there's been some reference to, you know, I talked to this with my therapist about this per se, but I don't know that we've ever really gotten into, I've never asked, well, what do you talk to your therapist about? I mean, I never go there in that conversation. I, you know, focus on the program. So, mm-hmm. So. Really give it to personal, really
in-depth. Well, I want to thank the panel very much. Thank you as well for showing up and bringing this We do have some literature for sale on the back table here. Also, if you haven't visited our website, you can grab one of our business cards just as an easy reminder to go check out our website, where we will be posting this recording in the news and videos area. And we will have the room for a little bit. I know that we have to be out of here before 5, but we've got more treats. And I would invite everybody to meet somebody you haven't met before, to realize that there's a whole network of ACA meetings just here in Minnesota.
And thank you, everybody, on the panel. Appreciate it. We go until 5 o'clock, and we have to be out by 5 o'clock, right around this time. The next meeting doesn't start here, I want to say, until 7 o'clock tonight. We just got to think of afterwards. There's plenty of treats. Please help yourselves. Most of the stuff is in the everybody's got to eat it. Thank you again for everybody's attendance, and for the panel, and Joshua, and everybody out here. One of the core tenets of all 12-step programs is fellowship, and that is everybody that chose to show up, everybody that chose to do the work to put it together, everybody that chose to volunteer their time to put themselves out there for everybody else, everybody that showed up on Zoom, everybody showing up for one another. These programs only work as good as we show up for one another. And so I just want to acknowledge that, because without that, you don't have a fellowship, the program doesn't work. I've tried to do all this kind of stuff in a vacuum by myself, failed miserably every time. So the only way that I found it's effective is to be out there and to put myself out there to help and to ask and to be present. So thank you all for showing up. We really appreciate it. And enjoy yourselves. We got, you know, an hour or so to hang out.
Thank you for your service.